The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal. The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Welcome to our podcast. I'm Wendy.
And I'm Penny.
And I'm Kat.
This episode, we're covering Yellow Jacket Season 1, Episode 9, Doom Coming. So, what did we think?
I thought it was the best one yet.
I have to agree, Kat. It was, we got a lot of satisfying answers, but also building tension and new mystery. It was awesome.
Just like every one of the episodes, there is not 1 minute you can look away from the screen or, you know, that you're going to be bored. It just pulls you through from start to finish.
I thought this episode was really different. I kept thinking to myself, how are we going to get from, you know, kind of these petty arguments in the wilderness to where we're going? And I felt like this was the transition episode. This shows us how they kind of halfway got there.
Yeah, we're going to learn a lot more about that. I hope in the next episode, enough to satisfy us to hold us over for second season.
It's hard to imagine waiting a year.
Yeah, there's going to be a huge cliffhanger. These showrunners love leaving you hanging from week to week. There's no way they're not going to do it over the season break.
Well, they gave us some answers to the big questions in this episode. As long as they give us something, throw us a big crumb before you give us that big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Penny, you want to get us started with your first point?
Sure. My first point is about Shauna and the whole opening scene and her flashbacks that she was having. So I did a little research about PTSD. I already knew some about it, but Shauna and Nat and Ty have all, the adult versions, have all been showing classic examples of PTSD symptoms. Shauna and Ty have been repressing their feelings, hiding, pretending to be normal, but they both have demonstrated that they feel empty. Ty said things didn't feel real to her. We all saw Shauna, like, sadly masturbating in her daughter's bedroom. Like, they're both really not present in their lives. And then Nat, of course, is the classic self-medicator, right? She's on drugs, she drinks, she has indiscriminate sex, she's a mess. PTSD flashbacks are not just vivid memories. They are when a person with PTSD, their brain actually has them re-experience the trauma as if it's happening again in real life. The emotions are as strong as they were the first time. Some people report that they also have physical sensations, like they feel like the physical actions are happening to their body again. They smell things that they smelled at the time. Sometimes they hear things that they heard at the time. You know, normal brains allow you to heal from trauma because over time your memory fades and the emotions go into the background. But a person with PTSD can't really heal because it's constantly being refreshed. And they keep re-experiencing it in these flashbacks. So anyway, the flashbacks themselves were pretty fascinating. And I think I got all of them on my list. So the scene starts with right where we left off at the last episode. Shauna storms into the loft and, you know, accuses Adam of blackmail. And he adorably thinks that they're role playing or something. And then he gets more and more nervous as it becomes obvious that she's incredibly upset. And then and they're arguing and he's trying to talk her down. And she starts having these flashbacks. She sees their original meeting between Shauna and Adam, then the bloody rabbit on the kitchen counter, a couple of different moments from their affair where they're like kissing and stuff, Adam waiting in front of her house, herself finding the empty safe, a drop of blood on a page of her journal. Then she finds the book that's the unauthorized story of Flight 2525 and the magazine. And on the magazine in the corner, you can see that one of the stories is called Little Girls Lost. And she's like, see, you have this book. She confronts him with it. And she has some more flashbacks. She sees the symbol carved on a tree, Callie in Jackie's uniform at that Halloween party, Shauna and Adam entering the hotel room, an image of the antler queen and some fire. At this point, she grabs the knife and starts sort of waving it at Adam. And then she sees slicing meat, the dead cabin guy, the interior of the plane during the crash, hands taking meat, Shauna and Adam kissing, someone's hand being tied to something like a post, fire, Allie after her leg is broken, the moments immediately after the plane crash when she and Jackie stumble out of the plane, Shauna and Adam kissing again, having sex with Jeff in 1996, the cannibal council, an image of long hair hanging down into the snow and blood dripping down. Herself, Shauna, teen Shauna, uncovering something buried in the snow. They're dragging the dead body of a girl through bloody snow with a rope, and then gutting the rabbit. And then she becomes young Shauna, which is a thing that happens in PTSD flashbacks, where it's not just that you remember the experience. You inhabit your younger self, so you don't have any of the benefits of age or wisdom or time because you are your younger self again. I thought it was a beautiful representation of PTSD. At this point, young Shauna stabs and guts Adam. I mean, she doesn't just stab him. She moves the knife up, and so there's no way he survived that stabbing. Then she becomes adult Shauna again. Then he falls to the ground and dies. And she sees the symbol carved into the floor of the cabin and Adam's face one more time. And then we have the opening credits.
Wow, that was a great analysis and picking apart that.
It took
forever. I tried
forever.
To do it too, and you did it much better.
I have
better.
A couple questions.
Yeah.
Was it Callie or was it Jackie that she saw in the yellow
it was
Callie.
Uniform. It was definitely an image from the Halloween party when Callie was like in shadow or silhouette. Mm-hmm. And so it could have been either Jackie or Callie, but the hairstyle was the same one Callie had when mm-hmm. she confronts her. So I think it was Callie.
And the tying of the wrist onto the headboard, is that something we've seen before?
I don't think
no.
so.
I was wondering about that, too, because they're all related, and that we haven't seen. I mean, we've seen almost all of those scenes.
Yeah, that and Shauna uncovering something in the snow, that's also a future scene. Or, I guess, her past, but the show's future. Yeah.
Right. That's amazing. Yeah. That's great. Did anybody else feel like me? This episode was really good about not being sure what was real and what was imagined. And I kind of convinced myself that Shauna didn't kill Adam until the three of them, Nat, Shauna, and Thaisa came back. And he was obviously very dead on the floor. But up until then, I was like, I think she just imagined it.
I didn't. I just saw it's totally straightforward because I could see her doing that. And even the way she did it, she stabs a knife in, not only guts him, but he moves back. So she's let go of the knife. and looking at him, and he moves backwards. Mm-hmm. And then she takes the knife. Instead of pulling it out, she draws it down, and that's mm-hmm. when she gets him. And that was just, but no.
I mean, you don't want to do murder halfway. If you're going to murder someone, like, make sure you finish it.
Yeah, do it right.
I had that moment of, she did not just stab Adam. No way. And then I rewound it, and then I was like, I think she did.
I didn't think it was real until later in the episode, especially when she came back and she put the knife back in the safe and her journals were there. I'm like, she's just imagined the whole thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought she had imagined the journals being gone. But the knife was bloody and I was like, she stabbed someone.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I took it all at face value with my mouth gaping open. Like,
yeah,
that really happened.
They know how to get us in the cold opens.
Yeah, and that's, we love it.
Yeah. All right. How about your next point, Kat?
Oh, okay. Mine's kind of more of a, what I thought, or what could be a theme of this episode, and it's all the reveals that we got in it. I mean, we have so many scenes, and they're just, some of them are very short. They blend together really well, but we got some big reveals. We got answers to three of our big questions, and then we had a few reveals that the characters made, you know, in the story. So we got answers to who is Adam, who is the blackmailer, and who is the antler queen. And then for reveals on the characters, we had Ty and Van coming out at the dance, Ben revealing to Misty that he's gay, and as he said, gay, gay, gay. And then the other reveal I thought was funny is Shauna reveals to Jeff. She's a murderer, a cannibal, and oh yeah, an adulterer.
And there's no book club.
The most shocking reveal of all.
There's no book club?
The humor in this just really makes up for all the horror.
That moment made up for all of the times in the rest of the season when I thought Jeff was really boring. I was like, why is she married to such a dull dud? And now I'm like, no, Jeff is adorable. I love Jeff.
Yeah. In this episode, I thought, oh man, I had Jeff all wrong.
Yeah. He kind of redeemed himself because we thought he was, you know, working mm-hmm. on that database inventory. Bianca. So, although I still think he's probably pretty boring.
He's not as bright as, you know, the rest of them, I think.
No.
But I think we saw in this, or I saw in this, that he's a little brighter than I thought.
Yeah, he seems a little superficial and shallow, but he was extremely loyal. And he was he was willing to sacrifice everything for Shauna, really. And that says something about his character.
Yeah. And he didn't have to think about it very long. He came up with that in like an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. And he also, he's willing to forgive everything that Shauna has done. And he's loved her all these years, knowing who she was, even though they couldn't share that.
He's forgived her for what she did 4 years ago. And known it that long, or what he read 4 years ago. Sorry. But yeah, and the one thing that I looked at and went, wow, he's a little smarter than I thought he was, is when he comes up with the idea to blame the blackmailing on Adam, and that Ty and Nat don't know that she killed him. So that was a pretty good idea. And he came up with that right on the spot, you know?
Yeah, I agree. All right. My first point was the breakdown of society. I believe that this show is a lot about the breakdown of society. And I think we really saw that here. Jackie talks about that they would be in rush week at Rutgers by now. And so I think this puts us at like the August, September mark. And we figure they crashed in May or June. So they've been stranded for about 4 months.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah.
And they've probably, you know, seen each other at their worst and at their best during this period of time. I feel like the nice teas are going little by little. And we're seeing the real people come out. Just like you said, Kat, about all the reveals that we got from this episode. We see that Ben, I feel like, has just given up on even attempting to be an authority figure at this point. Booze, yeah, let's all get the 17 and 18-year-old girls drunk. This is a good idea. Yeah.
He even says, as the only adult here, I don't condone this. You know, pretty much tells him, but hey, go for it.
Yeah, and I mean, poor little Javi, he's just just hanging out with all this. And I feel like Ben just has given up on being an authority figure. He's just laying it all on the line. Jackie just randomly decides that she's going to lose her virginity with the only, you know, really her age male that's there. This seems like something Jackie would have never done in the real world. But I think this is because... part of it's because they're starting to feel like we have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
That we might not get out of this and we might die. So if there's something I want to do before I die, I better do it. And I think the other part is just they're just, you know, you just can't keep up that societal persona for so long when you're scared of dying and hungry, and it's all just coming out. And I think that's fascinating to watch. And if you had told me what this episode was about last week, I would have said, they can't make that work. But I thought it really did work.
Me too.
I agree.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
All right, Penny, your next point.
It's great that you brought Jackie up, because my second point is about Jackie and Travis. First of all, I think she was so heartbroken and hurt about Shauna sleeping with Jeff. I don't think because she loves Jeff. I think she was more hurt that Shauna would do anything without telling her, that Shauna is not truly her best friend. I don't think she actually cares about Jeff. Mm-hmm.
Well, she even says, I don't love Jeff.
Yeah, she didn't love
when
Jeff.
When she's in the attic. Yeah.
And I think she decided partially to lose her virginity as kind of a revenge against Shauna. When she walks off with Travis, she looks back at Shauna and is like, eh. It's definitely sort of aimed at her. And then I wrote down her whole speech. She says, friendship doesn't matter. Love doesn't matter. They're just things that we use to pretend that we are not going to end up like dead cabin guy, like rotted out husks in some bullshit attic. But of course, that's how it ends. That's all we are the whole time. It doesn't matter. We're just shells with nothing inside. Also, Bullshit Addict is a good band name.
Dibs.
I thought the speech was really interesting and nihilistic and kind of teenagery, and it's what they all must be thinking to a certain extent if they're like thinking they're probably going to die soon.
She definitely is. She is just, she thinks they're dead already.
Yeah. I mean, she's not even eating, right?
Right. She pours out the stew, and it's not because she knew what was in it, but yeah, she just pours out. She's like, I'm done.
Why isn't she eating? She's just given up on life, you think?
I think so.
That's it's funny. I don't know why, but I feel so much more empathy towards Shauna than I do for Jackie. And Jackie has been through a lot. And I don't know why it's so much harder to recognize that. But somehow I do feel more empathy with Shauna for what she's gone through.
I do too.
Yeah.
A lot of people online are talking about that. there's a lot of people, you know, defending Shauna. And then, you know, we were joking about it last week or 2 weeks ago, like Jackie's a bitch. A lot of people seem to think Jackie's horrible and Shauna can do no wrong. And like, Shauna's done a lot of wrong.
Yeah.
But I agree that there's something about Melanie Linsky and there's something about Sophie Nalisse that you just want to love them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some of it's the acting. But I think some of it is, too, we see a lot more of Shauna. We see who she is today.
Yeah.
And all we really see of Jackie, we don't get that.
Yeah.
And, you know, she is really catty. She is poking it at everybody, and she does not care from the start.
I mean, she was really hurting Natalie, and she knows what she's doing. Because she did it. She had it just done to her, and now she's doing that same thing to Natalie. And that was hard to watch, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it started with telling everyone she was pregnant. Once she found that out, I think she really did not care. You know, once she found out that Shauna had slept with Jeff, that was over. And yeah, she doesn't care about Shauna a bit. I don't think she cares about anything at this point. But yeah, I think we have more sympathy and people feel that way or see that with Shauna because, well, the excellent acting. But also we see more of her.
Yeah.
You know, we see her life. We see, even though she might not look like she's hurt or affected by the things happening in her adult life, we get to see that. We get to see her as more of a whole person.
That's true.
All right, Kat, how about your next point?
Well, that one kind of leads a little bit into mine, which was going to be all about Shauna and Jeff's relationship. But what it kind of turned into was how the humor and tender moments in this keep us interested and are so well done. Otherwise, this would just be a horror show. I don't think people would be watching it or so addicted to it. But they'll, you know, we have Shauna gutting Adam. And then right after that, we have the little scene that's more domestic. You know, Shauna and Jeff they're in their bedroom. And although they're finding out horrific things, like, I murdered someone, I've had an affair. Oh, and by the way, that's okay. I blackmailed someone. So we're finding out these things that normal couples wouldn't have going on. But if you just step back and look at them, you know, how they're talking to each other, and even kind of the nonchalant way they're saying some of it, it's like we get a little slice of domestic life. And I think those things are kind of what keep us in there, and the humor in it, just the simple stuff like, you know, Jeff's, what, there's no book club? And just before that, the way Shauna just really casually kind of and bewildered says, I can't believe you actually thought there was a book club. You know, that has just a light humor to it. I cracked up when Jeff, you know, was so shocked about book club. But when I rewatched it, I thought, yeah, that's some of that great acting, because the look on her face and the way she says it is also funny, you know? So, I mean, we had that, the conversation where he says, what, you killed someone? She's like, yes, I murdered him and now he's dead. Or I stabbed him and now he's dead.
I stabbed him and now he's dead. She wouldn't say I killed him.
Exactly.
I stabbed him and the consequence of that was he died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what happens, right?
Blood just left his body. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, really.
I have to say, I loved Shauna swigging directly from what looked like a fifth of tequila and saying,
that was
beautiful.
Humor in all these scenes. Yeah. Yeah. And God, the way she does that, just carefree, but nonchalant and like, no apologies. And like,
no apologies.
Like you'd say, hey, we're out of milk.
Uh huh.
You know? So, but yeah, some of the tender moments, Jeff willing to take the fall for it. When he walks in, he's thought that through and it is completely all in on his plan to say he murdered him and had the card with the person's name. And here you go. You can sell off things in the furniture store and you'll be okay. He really loves her. And I wasn't sure about that before this.
And I think she seemed surprised at his loyalty
and his capacity for understanding what she went through. You know, he knows the things that happened in the woods and he's been just sitting on that quietly for years, waiting until she was ready to tell him, and all the time being forgiving and loyal to her. It's remarkable.
And how much wasted time between them they could have shared that. And I can't imagine what it's been like for any of them to carry that around for so long.
Well, and they haven't been connected. And how could you be with that big thing in between, especially knowing now that Jeff knew about it? But yeah, he totally accepts her.
This could be a renaissance for their...
I know. This could be really good for them.
Their relationship could go through a whole new... Or they could become like the murder twins and like go on a cross-country murder spree and cover up for each other. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's a spinoff show then. But, you know, we also had the real tender moments in the before time. Ban and Taisha together are just so touching. I mean, there's the point where Van doesn't want to go to the dance, and Taisha's made these masks and presents them. She says, I know you don't. I know you're self-conscious. And not just that she made a mask for Van, but she made two of them. So they each had one.
It was very sweet.
Yeah. And the convincing look in Liv's face, the way her eyes change, the way she's looking at her, and just that little hint of a smile, you know, there's real love there, I think. And passion, you know, when we see the other scenes, you know, when they embrace at the dance, you know, that's kind of a tender moment in a pretty horrific scene.
And that's the first time they've gone public with their relationship.
Right, right. That was good. And the humor in that is one of the girls starts to say, are they? And the other one just goes, yep. Duh.
Yeah.
That's great.
You know, the writers could, they put those things in there. And that's what makes it such a smart show. I mean, a couple other ones when Jeff says, so I don't get it. You murdered this person? Less, you know, poorer writing would have had her say, yes. You know? Yeah, poorer writing wouldn't have had the humor of like, yeah, are they? Duh.
All right. My... next one is the doom coming party. All the girls except Jackie are tripping on mushrooms and fermented berries. And I think this whole episode is kind of playing that line between what we called the supernatural and what's really happening, because obviously in some parts you know they're tripping and you know what's happening isn't real, but they did it so well. Like when Travis bolts out the door and then you see a deer go by the window, they're seeing a deer. We know it's Travis. I thought that was really well done.
I missed that. I didn't see the deer. Wow.
Yeah. In several areas you see Travis in his human form running, and then you'll just see a flash of a deer. I saw it at first, and then of course I went back and, like a maniac, you know, watched it 17 times over again.
A lot of freeze framing, sure. That's normal, isn't it? We all do that.
Yeah. And Shauna feels the baby move inside her. I can't even imagine what that feels like. You know, also Shauna's tripping on mushrooms while she's pregnant. Not a great thing to happen.
But not something she consented to either.
No. And when they're all getting dressed for the party and Shauna's zipping up her dress, we haven't seen Shauna's been wearing like bulky clothing this whole time. And so this is the first time you just see her trying to close and then it won't close. And then it shows her front. And she's obviously showing a lot. And it hits her. Like, she's been trying to forget about this. She's been trying to pretend like it's not happening, but there it is. It's right there. And then she feels the baby move inside her, which I think only makes it even more real to her. When Misty went for the medicinal plants book, I was like, oh, yeah, it's on. what's happening here?
Yeah, doesn't everybody have a binder full of shrooms and other medicinal herbs when you go on a plane trip?
That you've labeled with like a cute label that says shrooms with little like pictures of mushrooms and flowers next to it?
Yeah, just in case like, you, yeah. you forget what it is.
Your scrapbooking. That's her new hobby.
A medicinal plants book that she found. Where was it? In the cabin? Did she bring it with her? Where did that come from?
Oh, no, I completely believe that she made that book and brought it with her.
Yeah. But this whole scene was really great. Just really, I think, shows us what's to come. And, you know, they're all tripping on mushrooms. Travis comes really close Shauna comes really close to killing Travis here. I mean, I think it was just a breaths away where she was going to. And obviously she, you know, that was not her intent. She thought he was a deer. Like, that was obvious what was happening. But I just don't know what's going to happen. What are the repercussions of all this going to be? Jackie was pretty much of an outsider before. And now with this whole thing and them locking her in the closet, and then she's, you know, they know her and Travis had sex. They both lost their virginity to each other. What's going to happen here?
Yeah, well, and also, they're all high. They don't know who put the, you know, how or who had the mushrooms. Well, I guess they could, because...
I mean, Coach and Nat both think it's Misty. Yeah.
Yeah.
The person cooking it saw the mushrooms and saw Misty, but I was thinking... You know, she's the only one that didn't get high. And if that had happened, I mean, that's another way that alienates her from the group.
Right.
I guess is where I was going.
Yeah. And I saw Misty eating a little bit of the soup, and she was definitely drinking the berries.
Oh, yeah. She had it all over her face.
Yeah. I didn't know if she was tripping or not on the shrooms. It was a little hard to tell.
Yeah.
And some of these scenes, while they are tripping with Travis... the girls, at one point, it got really, like, carnivorous. The noises they were making, they were kissing and licking all over him, and they started to bite him. And then at one point, and I'm sure this was just Travis's point of view on shrooms, they were, like, pulling his ear off. And it kind of makes you think, like, that, you know, and they're starving. So they're all starving. That's probably why they're imagining him as a deer, you know,
yeah,
but
I assume so.
It takes that leap. It fills up that gulf of how we get to that point.
Yes. We get to see how they didn't only creep up on the idea, but they were high and it made it a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And if we didn't know Travis did make it back, I think I would have no doubt that we'd all be thinking, he's toast.
Yeah.
Or dinner.
And Travis sees all of them as almost animalistic, with pointed teeth and distorted faces and big eyes. I thought that looked really cool. At one point, Lottie puts on the cloth that kind of makes her look like she's the Antler Queen. If she's not. I mean, it looks like she really is, but...
I think that was supposed to be a reveal, but I don't... know if she really is, or really is on the council.
She was also kind of leading the charge, right? She was the one who was like, we have to go stop Jackie. She's taking something that doesn't belong to her. And then she's the one who locks Jackie in the closet. And at one point when they've captured Travis, Lottie is the one who says, Shauna, you know what to do. She's taking charge.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And in the cabin, after that scene where it gets real cannibalistic and he runs out the door, she says, the stag, we have to catch it. And they all take off. It just gets more intense.
Almost like
from
the
there.
Power of suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And she always refers to him as an object or without
it.
Humanizing him. It's when she tells Shauna to. It wants us to do this, and that could have been whatever entity she thinks she's seeing in the woods or at the cabin. But I think she was referring to Travis as it, as an object.
And she said that he doesn't belong to Jackie. I wondered who she meant. Did she meant he belongs in the stew pot? He belongs.
Right. Because she also says this has nothing to do with Nat.
Yeah.
Right. And again, she doesn't say he doesn't belong to you. She says it doesn't belong to you, you know, which a component of her personality. We all get to see the basis of where they are, who they are.
All right. That was my next point.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Penny, you want to go next?
Yeah, my third point is Jessica. Jessica and Misty, they have great chemistry together, the two actresses. I love that Jessica is trying to befriend Misty, and you can tell that Misty is employing the exact same strategy, and they seem to both know what the other one is doing, but they're still doing it anyway, and they're in this like knowing game with each other. I'm really enjoying their interactions. Rekha Sharma, who plays Jessica, is a favorite actress of mine. She's been in a lot of sci-fi shows that I've seen and enjoyed. I think I first saw her in Battlestar Galactica, and she had a great role there. And I also really enjoyed her in Supernatural. She was just in one episode, but it was fantastic. I like the whole book deal conversation. I don't think Misty intends to take the book deal, but she's just trying to get Jessica to reveal something or let down her guard, or it's hard to know. But I'm really curious to see what happens in the future with the two of them and how long Jessica's going to be in that basement.
Yeah, what's the end game plan there? Because I feel like she's going to end up dead.
Yeah, I mean, don't know. It's so funny. During a group watch, someone had said, you know, going off the cuff and giving impressions. It was Jason said, Kat, he finally said, I think we're watching two different shows. And listening to the podcast and even that point, it is, I think we see it differently. I don't know why, but I looked at that and I really thought Misty was really getting into being flattered. And that naive Misty back in 1996 was showing a little bit. So I hadn't thought about her just playing the game and giving it back to Jessica. That's interesting.
I thought she was playing the game. I think she does like to be flattered by anybody. Mm-hmm. But I think Misty's probably learned a lot of things the hard way. And I don't think she's going to be fooled by many these days.
Right. Well, and either Jessica is good at telling a story, because part of it is Misty says she loves hearing her stories. But I went back. Did you go back, Penny, and look at what she says in the beginning of that, where she's telling her story?
It sounded like some kind of like war correspondent type story. It was like somebody
that's what
got
I thought.
Trouble.
Yeah. And that's why I went back to it. But really what she was saying was something about it's stupid to have your site navigation on when you're muling drugs across Europe. I mean, basically, those aren't the words she uses. But basically, her story is somebody was really stupid because they could be tracked with their cross-continent drug deal. But yeah, I was wondering if it was military, too. Was she an embedded journalist?
The way this show works, that's going to come up, right? There's going to be some point where Misty's going to say, we need to turn off our GPS, right? It's coming.
But yes, that, and there's, again, a little bit of comic relief in there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Jessica only has one more episode, either way it goes.
Yeah.
All right, Kat, how about your next point?
Oh, the other, you know, we've all talked about how we love the music. And it is terrific how they're pulling great songs. Some of them we know, some we don't, or some of them are more well-known from the 90s. And it's fun to revisit those songs, but they also use them in a way that is just so precisely timed and so smart. One of the instances is, you know, when they're in the cabin and they're having the scene where they're kind of devouring Travis in one way or another, you know, or want to. The title sequence song comes on. Did you notice that? It's the first time we've heard No Return.
Yes.
During an episode. And that just kind of gave me chills. You know, it's like, here it comes. And I don't know, signifies some kind of a little transition into something. But I went back and looked at it. And after Lottie says, the stag, we can't let him go, or we have to get him, the music cues exactly when Shauna gets to the door and pulls the knife out of that sheath. And that's when the music cues up. And it just, those are like kind of little tiny details I like to pull out. But it was great to hear the title sequence song added in there. And it's such a great song. I really like it. Some people don't care for that sequence, but I really love it. I love how it flashes back and the jumping around. There's pieces in there that we haven't seen. And there's a girl, it looks like a girl that we have not seen yet, if you go frame by frame for that title sequence. But yeah, that was great.
The music in this series so far has been really wonderful.
Yeah. But I mean, just, so yeah, I guess, yeah, my third point was not only is the music great, but the way they edit it in. I mean, we've all talked about in all the podcasts how smart this is, how smart the writing is, how great the acting is. I would add to that how perfect the editing is, because we're cutting from short scene to short scene through different time periods, you know, going from, or even very different things. We're going from the chase scene where we don't know if they're going to kill and eat Travis, and then it'll pop into something like a domestic scene, and back and forth very quickly, but it's done so smoothly that it's terrific between the writing, the editing. I would love to see the storyboards they had for these. I'd love to have a couple of storyboards. That would be so interesting.
And I think a lot of it is they're messing with us too, because the editing for last week's episode, or maybe it was two episodes ago, where they talk about who is Adam, and then they cut straight to a scene of Avi.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's it. But it's not, right? No. We don't think.
Oh, they're teasing us.
We don't know who, I mean, we don't think Adam was anybody. Or
I
do.
I
don't
when
know.
When I listed, when I said I think we got answers to three big questions. You know, who is Adam?
Yeah.
I think, you know, Adam was just a fanboy. He looked into who she was, and just like people get a little obsessed with a celebrity. I think that's all he was. I don't think he was connected to the story, other than he's a fanboy and was a good device to get us all going and guessing who he was. I never would have guessed that Jeff was a blackmailer. I heard that theory and people say, I'm like, oh no, Jeff wouldn't do that.
I thought it was my second guess, because there wasn't enough information about Jeff. So I knew something was happening.
Yeah. And
him.
That's where I just got Jeff totally wrong. I just thought he's not smart enough to pull that off. And I,
right. But that's what they wanted.
And I really thought he was having an affair. They did that so well with teasing it and convincing me that he was, you know. Why would you be out that late at night? And there were times he came home very early in the morning. And it was just, I thought, how can you, when he said it's inventory, it's always been hard to believe.
The inventory database.
Yeah, it's having trouble with that. So I had him wrong. I thought he was an adulterer. I thought he was pretty dim and not very smart. And didn't care about Shauna much, but he loves her. And he's not as he's a little smarter than I thought he was. So we found out he's a blackmailer. And the other thing is, we found out the blackmailer is not the murderer. I mean, that we know for sure.
Right.
So Adam's a fanboy. Jeff's the blackmailer. The blackmailer is not the murderer. And then we might know that Lottie is the antler queen. She is, at least at this moment.
My last point was about division in the group. We see some obvious division in this episode, and I thought some of that was interesting because Jackie and Nat were not on the same page. They don't seem to like each other. Nat thinks Jackie is stuck up and entitled and privileged, and Jackie dismisses Nat because she's, you know, trashy. She's a slut. You know, she's said as much. But in this episode, they were kind of pulling together to save Travis. They were both working together. I thought it was interesting that when Shauna kind of comes to and realizes what she almost did, she immediately backs off and drops the knife. And Lottie and Nat both scramble to get that knife, and Nat ends up with it. And so I just wonder, are these like divisions that we're going to see coming? We saw Van and Ty were kind of off to the side, but obviously upset about the fact that Travis almost got killed. Poor Hobby's kind of hiding under a log somewhere.
Just tripping away. Tripping away.
I feel weird. Yeah.
And scared to death because Shauna runs by with a knife and leans in
and says, run.
Run. And the way she said it didn't even sound like her voice. She sounded possessed.
No. Yeah. No. Yes. That was creepy. And then Ben and Nat kind of seemed to be the voices of reason in this episode. And so I'm just really curious to see if that's kind of where battle lines will be drawn or they'll mix it up again. And the perpetrators was Lottie, who obviously seemed to be the leader, and Shauna and a few of the other girls who seem more like followers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's been a lot of talk about two groups. Do they split off? I think it's headed in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's safe to say that Travis is not on the Cannibal Council, even though he survives. Can't see him joining that now. So, but yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about how, you know, I don't think after the attack, I don't see Nat going back and being in that group. Travis. So does Jackie go with them too when they're all splitting off? That would make sense.
Right.
You know, and then just guessing who is where and what.
And that's all I really have. Anybody have anything to add to that point or any notes?
I have a bunch of notes. I very much identified with Thaisa when Shauna says to her, what do we need to do? You're a lawyer. And Thaisa says, I practice land use, not murder cleanup.
Well, you must have taken it in school.
It was an elective. She didn't
As a lawyer myself, yeah. The number of times I've been at a party and met someone and they've said, oh, you're a lawyer? Can I call you if I get arrested? It's mind-boggling how many people I meet who seem to think they're about to get arrested. and I always say, like, only if it's copyright jail, because I'm an intellectual property lawyer, not a criminal lawyer. But in that moment, I felt such sisterhood with Thaisa.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I feel that way sometimes about being a nurse is like, it opens up the conversation. People want to tell you about their medical problems.
Oh, Lord. That's awful.
Yeah.
I would hate that.
I would hate it so much I would give them bad advice.
I also noticed there were three or four unnamed yellow jackets at the party. We hardly ever see these extra girls. Jason called them log carriers once. He was talking about the, you know, the random people in the background and on Lost.
Right.
But they don't show them very often. Like the scenes when the girls all like wake up in the cabin, the extra girls aren't there. We never see them in the background of any scenes, but they were at the party. So there's like three or four extra, I assume, future dinners walking around in the woods there.
Yeah, I just call them the red shirt girls.
Yeah.
But I'm curious. I mean, I also think, I think I've had this theory and I've talked about it before, that just like the tailies in Lost in season two, maybe these are the tailies that we're going to see more developed in season two. And maybe some of them are still alive. Like in modern day.
Yeah, I think that's got to be right, Because they have to bring some new people in if they're going to have five seasons.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so. There could also be whoever carved those weird, creepy symbols might be out there in the woods.
Could be. Mm-hmm. Could be. Oh, with that, one of my notes was just that out of observations and because I love her, I think Van will survive. I think she's going to be rescued. I mean, she's almost been killed four times up to this point. And she survived.
She's been through a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. She, you know, she got abandoned in a burning plane. Survived. She almost got chopped up by propellers when they found the other plane. She survives. She survives a wolf attack. And she survives her friends trying to burn her alive.
Yeah. And she seems like she's doing pretty well, considering.
She's probably the most well-adjusted in the whole thing at this point.
Yeah, her face was way less messed up than I expected.
Well, but Ty was high when she was showing us that. So I thought it might not be what she really looks like. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
You were thinking that the scene where she's healed might be because she was
kind of distorted. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know.
I saw that and just thought, wow, she's healing well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, no sign of infection.
Yeah, I know. She looked pretty good. I thought this is the first time that anybody else has been made aware that Shauna has journals that she's kept.
Oh, that the other...
From that time period.
Aside from Javi, that no one else knew. Well, Jackie knew.
Well, I mean, I think... They knew she had journals, but they did not know she still had the journals.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see.
I'm thinking that she promised to get rid of them as they would have been very incriminating, but she did not.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe she was writing it down anyway, so I can see why they wouldn't believe she'd keep them.
I found it very ironic that grown-up Thaisa says to Natalie when they're looking at poor dead Adam, "Oh, Natalie, no, don't touch a dead body. Ew."
They were both all, like, school gore creeped out. Like, oh, don't touch it, don't touch it. I thought that was pretty funny, too. I thought that was one of those little pieces of humor that lighten up a murder scene.
Yes. And here's another one. Thaisa says, "You got any ideas?" And Natalie says, "Yeah, one." And cue Misty fucking Quigley there. I was like, yes, Misty. And then when she goes to her door and she's like, we need you to get rid of a body. Misty's face just lit up like Christmas.
Yeah.
First, she sort of laughs a little bit, like in disbelief. And then it's like, you can see it like strike her. Oh, she means it. And oh, they thought of me.
Right, I'm important again. I'm needed. Well, and one of the scenes in the basement between Jessica and Misty is when Jessica's pointing out to her, you know, trying to get under her skin, that, well, they've all been in contact. Didn't they contact you?
Mm-hmm.
If it was me, I would feel so left out. So then, you know, she accepts Nat's apology because she's got a role again. She's important. Mm-hmm. That little smile on her face.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we've been seeing from Misty this whole season, grown-up Misty, is that she is thriving on this. She has been practicing with her, citizen detective. And she is loving every minute of this. I also thought Ben was pretty funny in this episode when he said, "I think Misty poisoned me again." I thought that was kind of funny. Maybe you shouldn't drink things that you haven't made yourself, Ben. And then his whole coming out speech was just hilarious. You can tell this guy's been in the closet for a long time. And this is what I meant by kind of breaking down a society. He's got really nothing left to lose here. And he's like, "I'm gay. I'm gay. Did you hear that? Mom, Dad, God, all my furry forest friends. I'm gay."
Furry
it was really great.
Friends. Yeah. Well, and that also, we talk a lot about how the story is about the breakdown, you know, what would happen, the breakdown in society and social structures. We're also seeing the breakdown of them as individuals, how this, you know, especially in the present day, dissociation, I think it's about the breakdown of their psyches also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any other notes?
I had just one other note that I found interesting, and that's that the director, Karen Kusama, was also director of Jennifer's Body, if you've ever seen that.
I've never seen that.
It also has to do with, well, Jennifer's Body, but teens.
Mm-hmm.
She also directed Aeon Flux, and they're both female-driven movies, programs, vehicles. So, but yeah, I just thought that she was an interesting, it made sense when I found out she was the director. So I just thought that was a little interesting tidbit.
Penny, any other notes?
No.
Okay. I think that is it for that part. We'll take a break. There's more to come. Stay with us.
What have these mushrooms all done to my mind? Running through the pines. My head feels wrapped in twine. What have these mushrooms all done with my mind?
What have they done with my mind?
Mushrooms I won't decline. Washing down with wine.
My life goes better with a mushroom. I seem like I'm in a bit of mood when I'm on a mushroom.
All right, welcome back. And we are going to go into our news section. So this is news about Yellow Jackets. We have one article from Vulture, and this was a Lottie interview. Lottie's played by Courtney Eaton. So this was an interview with the actress. Penny, you want to take care of that for us?
Sure, no problem. The first question. Doom Coming feels like a significant turning point in the evolution of Lottie. How did you prepare for what she goes through? When we got the script and rushed onto set that day, I remember being like, what are we about to film? The party, the shrooms, we called it the orgy. I didn't see it taking that big of a turn, but it makes sense for Lottie, especially with what she went through in episode 8. Laura Lee had this unwavering faith and mental clarity, and that's what Lottie is searching for. She's uncertain about her own reality and trying to find something to hold on to. Losing Laura Lee is kind of her breaking point. With her predictions, it's the first time in her life that whatever is going on with her has been labeled as a positive thing. In episode 6, you see her get shut down by her parents and medicated. So her whole life, she's been taught that whatever is going on with these thoughts isn't normal and is unnatural. At the party, she is obviously grieving and has been pushed back to the edge. When you add psychedelics to someone who is already questioning their reality, it can go south pretty quickly. With psychedelics, a lot of the time, people talk about having this spiritual experience or feeling this energy. I don't think she realizes it's starting to lead her down a negative path. Understatement. Negative path. All right. The show does such a good job with the ambiguity about what is real, what is potentially a cult, and what are we seeing from the girls' perspectives that might be affected by the traumatic event they're experiencing. Lottie is at the center of that. Are you playing her like she believes she's really a spiritual conduit? When I was coming into prep, I talked to Bart Nickerson and Ashley Lyle about how we were going to handle Lottie and her mental state. There's been a big discussion with the citizen detectives on Reddit about what medication Lottie is taking, and what I loved about the script is the ambiguity around what is going on with Lottie's mind. It gave me a lot of freedom because I didn't want to box it in and say that she's doing certain things because of mental illness. There's so much stigma around that topic, and it's been portrayed negatively on film many times. I really loved that she walks that line, and me as an actor, I prep, but I'm also very in the moment with whatever is coming and I'm feeling. I'm not leaning toward one way or another, and I think that helps in keeping it like that for the audience. What role did the baptism have in Lottie's character development? She doesn't tell anyone that she had a vision of something bad happening to Laura Lee. Do you think part of her grieving process is the guilt of thinking she could have done something to save her friend? Or do you think that hasn't connected for her yet? I think it hasn't fully connected for her yet. And I think the reason she was led to the baptism is, you know, a lot of times in intense situations, people fall back on something that is greater or bigger than themselves, like a godly figure. As humans, we can manipulate things to fit our own situations. And I think she's reaching for any answer she can get. It's so hard breaking Lottie down because while I was acting, sometimes I would look at her visions like, maybe this isn't just her. With the other girls in the river, maybe it's a collective kind of PTSD thing. Almost like a collective imagining, like they're feeding each other. Yeah. That's what's so interesting about the seance. Part of me wonders, why are you having a seance? But it's another huge moment for Lottie in terms of a spirit or demonic entity visiting her. In your own understanding of the character, what do you think is happening to Lottie at that moment? The seance happened so quickly, and we got that script not far out from shooting it. The way I looked at it was more of an accumulation. Even though she's spewing French, I played it as a mental break. Because if I had gone into it like she was being taken over by something, it wouldn't have grounded it for me. The way I approached it was a building up of fucked up shit. What kind of prep went into the doom coming orgy for you? We had a really great intimacy coordinator, Catherine Cadler. It's an uncomfortable scene to shoot, especially with Kevin, who plays Travis. We're all essentially sexually assaulting him. It was a big team effort to choreograph how we would all come together. Mentally for Lottie, I think she's just grieving, especially when they're around the campfire and about to start the party. She feels like everyone has moved on pretty quickly from Laura Lee's death. When I start singing, we found that it grounded it, and maybe it was Laura Lee's favorite song. So the night starts off negatively for Lottie because she's already in this headspace. She's isolating herself, and she's still grieving heavily, more than the rest of the girls. Then you add shrooms to it, and she's going to go find answers somewhere else. Here we go. What do you think would have happened if Jackie and Nat hadn't stopped the girls? I didn't think past that point because that is a whole other realm of different consequences. But I think they, at least Lottie probably, would have gone through with it. I think Shauna also would have gone through with it. What was it like putting on the deer crown? It was crazy because no one knew up until that episode who was going to be the antler queen, as everyone's calling it.
I love that she picks up the antler, like that she is saying the antler queen.
Yeah, it's become, it's like canon now.
Yep.
Do you think there's any possibility that the deer headdress changes hands? I think it naturally fits Lottie. Obviously, I don't know what happens in season two, but it seems like something that could be passed on. But also, I don't know if it would make sense for a lot of other people the way it makes sense for Lottie. No one else has that way of thinking that surrounds the Antler Queen, but I'm not sure.
That's amazing.
That is. That's great.
Then we have a tweet from Juliette Lewis, who plays Natalie, grown-up Natalie. And she tweets, I hope I don't give any spoilers away. But wow, wait till you see the last episode. I'm dying. How many days till Saturday?
Oh my God. I literally screamed because I wanted more.
I know. And I say Saturday, but really it's Sunday. I've been staying up and watching.
6 days? Yeah.
Yeah.
Saturday at 3 a.m. or Sunday at 3 a.m.?
I think it comes at 12, right? I think it drops at midnight. Yeah.
Could be a time zone
thing. Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. All right, we have some listener feedback. This show has really brought out a lot of people, and we are loving everybody's opinion. So thank you, everybody, for participating. I'll go ahead and start. Sherry Morford says, what a crazy episode. I really thought this was going to be Jackie's moment to take one for the team and become dinner. He doesn't belong to her. Creepy. Seems like Lottie is the leader of the Cannibal Council based on the headdress she wore in this episode, but they may still turn the tables on us and have someone else wear it. I can't see how Nat could ever be on the Cannibal Council. She protected Travis, and I can't see how he survives without her and him separating themselves from the group. So I'm very interested to see how that plays out. Also, can't wait to see how Misty finding out the truth about Coach Ben will play out. These girls, with their empty stomachs and alcohol, sure went on an insane trip with those mushrooms. Can't wait for next week's episode to see the fallout from all the events this week. By the way, there is no book club.
I'm shocked.
All right, I'll take the next one. Lindsay Schlicht says, holy cow, was that an episode? I kept checking to make sure this wasn't the finale because it felt like one. The opening sequence was so nuts. I did not expect Adam to go out like that. Even though I still hate the Adam equals Javi theory, I could definitely see them going that way now. Maybe they discover his real identity while cleaning the crime scene, and Shauna has to be burdened with that guilt. Not that she seems particularly bothered she killed him now. Next week's episode with Misty doing crime scene cleanup should be fun. I guess now we've confirmed Lottie is the Antler Queen, although I'm still convinced she's also Pit Girl. Maybe she's overthrown later by another girl and her crown stolen. Our own little Game of Thrones with teenage girls in the Canadian wilderness. I am so bummed the show is almost over. It's like taken over my life these last few weeks. Best suggestion ever, Daphne.
I agree. Daphne's the one who got me into it. Thank you.
Me too. Yep.
Yes. I forgot to thank her at the beginning. Our own. She's our team captain.
Our cruise director.
Well, I have feedback from Jason. Hey, Jason, thanks.
With Jeff blackmailing the Yellow Jackets to get out of the red with loan sharks, Shauna killing her boyfriend and not really seeming to care all that much, and a group of sexed up, drug-fueled Yellow Jackets about to carve up poor Travis. Really? We're at the human sacrifice stage already? I resubmit that this show has firmly planted itself in Melrose Place territory and beyond. In other words, it's a lot. I had maybe hoped the show would be a bit more grounded and realistic, but I gotta admit, it's so much fun to watch as it is. I'm especially loving the character of Lottie, that evil laugh. At this point, she's even scarier than Misty. In this episode, with everyone thrown off balance by an unintended shrooms trip, she took advantage and asserted control. Ever since the seance back in episode 5, I've been thinking that Lottie's schizophrenic thoughts would end up becoming the new sane out in the wilderness, eventually culminating in her becoming the Antler Queen. The only thing that makes me doubt that now is that after this episode, Lottie as Antler Queen is the clear and obvious thing to happen, but this show continually throws curveballs at us. My new theory: Jackie figures out how to reassert her dominance over the team in this world she thought she was useless in, leading her to don that crown of antlers and convene the Council of the Cannibals. I could see either of those things happening. But I'm not sure how Jason thought this show was going to be grounded in reality.
It is pretty
well, it's
extreme.
Realistic that, you know, Adam was a fanboy.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the most plain explanation. So
I just think when you see that cold open, that like sets the tune for where we're going. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was totally convinced of all the supernatural. And now I'm not so much. No, I'm not. I think like Jason, there might be there's a probable explanation in the real world for everything that's happening.
But I think they want it to be questionable.
Oh, definitely. I'm so glad they do.
Yeah.
That's what makes it great.
Gemma Hall says, crazy times. I was just wondering about the amount of mushrooms that went in that stew. Was it enough to get so many of them that high? Jason says, yup. I'm really shocked Shauna killed Adam and the callous way she's talking about him. Jeff had the best line of the series. Wait, there's no book club? I burst out laughing. Like, that's what he's upset about. I do think there's more to this story than he's telling Shauna, though. Bianca doesn't look like a loan shark to me. Misty is just so funny and kind of vulnerable making friends with Jessica in her basement. You can tell all she really wants is a friend in a weird way. In the past, I really don't see Coach surviving much longer. Misty was not pleased by his admission. Lottie and Shauna really went batshit in this episode too. Can't wait for the finale next week.
Thanks, Gemma. Although, I'm disappointed you didn't read that in a Welch accent.
Oh,
Penny.
I don't think I can do that.
Okay. Someday, Gemma's going to call in so we can hear that lovely accent. Yeah.
You want to do the next one?
Yeah, I have feedback from Alyssa Uranga. I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong. Those shrooms really messed with Lottie's mania. We're not going to be hungry anymore. Okay, the cannibal queen has spoken. Adult Jeff and Shauna need therapy now. They never grew up, and they're still stuck in their teenage mindset. Unreal.
Tina Carreri says, the scene where they were hunting Travis was one of the scariest things I've seen in a long time. Murderous mob on shrooms chasing you through an endless forest. Nightmares.
Kara Rex says, what? There's no book club? absolutely sent me with a little laughing emoji.
Okay. And Steve Barr, hi, Steve, says, no wonder Jeff's best friend is Randy. Randy doesn't confuse him. Also, if Adam is Javi, why did Adam need books and magazines on the Yellow Jackets? Javi was there. Yeah,
I don't think Adam was Javi.
No, I never did.
I did.
There's no way. Oh, there's no way Shauna could spend all that time with him. 19 months on an island. Even mannerisms, though.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. But then they talked me into it, the show.
Uh-huh. That's what's so fun, all the theories and talking with your friends about it.
Amelie Rochette says, the big question is who killed Travis, and something tells me the answer is season two material. I probably agree with that.
Yeah, that sounds right. Wyman Owen says, although I don't have a comment on this episode, I just want to say in general that this show is amazing. Keeps you guessing the whole way along. Y'all are doing a great job with coverage. It was nice to hear Jason cover non-Walking Dead. Anyways, I love this show and y'all's podcast. Buzz, buzz, don't get bit.
Nice. All right, I'm going to take one email from Jackie O. I am loving Yellow Jackets, and because of my obsession with this show, I have discovered your podcast after watching episode 8. My feedback is, have we considered that the girls aren't the only people in the woods? The symbols are all over the trees after the plane crash. Perhaps the woods drives people crazy, and there is already a cult ready to go. It could explain how, in one moment, there is an abundance of food, and then suddenly there isn't. I read the episode 10 description, and looks like there is going to be some high school reunion drama. I think the only thing we are going to get in the finale is what drives the split in the girls. I don't think they all do the whole cannibal thing together because of Ty's remark to Shauna that Nat saved us. Maybe Nat is the one who gets them rescued overall, or perhaps Nat convinced them to split off and not go full on cannibal at some point. Nat also said Travis didn't believe in that stuff when they were looking at the crime scene photos. Who knows? We will likely find out in the season 2 finale. I think what I really need from the finale is not the outcome of the first episode, who is Antler Queen or who is in the pit, but to see the other survivors they have been alluded to. I've seen some crazy-ass theories on Reddit that are not even worth repeating here. Mm-hmm. But with the 25-year reunion, we finally have the chance to find out for sure who made it out of the woods, who died, and maybe who went full-on feral and is still living in the woods. Maybe? I swear I have seen theories on Reddit that mirror the whole Jack, Kate, lost. Kate, we have to go back. This show has to be smarter than that. Ha ha. Thanks a bunch for an amazing podcast. That's awesome.
Thanks, Jackie O. Welcome to the group.
I think you're right, Jackie. This show is smarter than that. Yeah, and welcome.
Well, and I think the thing with this show is that it seems super thought out. Whereas, and I'm not detracting from Lost at all. I enjoyed Lost a lot. I think it was a great show. But I think part of its faults were that it was not thought out. They were kind of making it up as they went along, and you could kind of tell.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, they didn't know where they're going, and with 5 seasons, they have it planned out.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful for that, as long as they continue to film, you know?
How many things happened on Lost that you never found out about?
Too many.
Yes. Even when they explained it, you were like, what?
Right. Because they backed themselves into story corners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then just went, oh, well, they'll forget about it. The audience will forget.
All right.
We never forget.
I am going to play a couple calls. The first one is from Archmaester Rennie, who has been a longtime listener of all the podcasts. So nice to hear from you again. She says, hello, House Podcastica. Here's a message from me about the penultimate episode of the season. P.S., I stayed in a vacation rental over the weekend that had the picture in the attachment on the bedroom wall. Yikes. It was a house in a city, not a cabin in the woods. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
You can't see what we're seeing, obviously, listeners, but
it is intense.
Looks, It looks like the Antler Queen in some kind of like knight's garb. It's pretty creepy.
It's a primitive rendition.
Yeah.
It's a primitive interpretation.
That's so funny. I'm so glad she sent that. Jason should put that up on the website.
It's creepy. I want to know if she had to put a towel over it or something at the time she was there.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to sleep in the room with that.
No. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and play Rennie's call.
Buzz, 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 House Podcastica. This is your friend, Archmaester Rennie. I started late on this show, and I've just caught up. I never would have found or watched the show without the podcast, so thank you, because I'm now as hooked on it as all of you. I never believed that Adam was Javi, but I also did not see his end coming. I think Shauna is one of the most interesting female characters in a TV series ever. In the early episodes, the adult Shauna seems very ineffectual. Her teenage daughter walks all over her, she's married to a doofus, and doesn't seem to have much of a life. But then these flashes of violence and power come out when she kills the rabbits, and ultimately kills her lover. Simultaneously in the storyline, we see that violence and power start to build in her younger self. This series is almost as tightly written as dark. Wow. So my prediction for next week's episode is that Misty will say, "Well, we have two bodies to dispose of," because I think she's planning to kill Jessica. This show is a wild ride, and I'm glad to be on it with you all. All the co-hosts on this podcast have been great and have helped me notice details I missed. I'm both anticipating and dreading next week, so I'll be listening.
Oh, that was great. Have either of you seen or watched the German series Dark that she referred to?
No, people keep telling me how great it is.
Yeah.
It is so good. It's really good. And it's pulls you along with a little mystery like this.
Nice.
Program does, but thanks for mentioning that. It's a great one, you guys.
All right, our next call is from Linda Darcy.
Hey, this is Linda from Connecticut. Absolutely loving the show. Love your podcast. I love how they don't treat us like morons and put up a sign as to how many days. It's not later. It's not incredibly obvious. But you see that Van's scars are healing and that Sean is showing and that they're talking about homecoming and, oh, it would be rush week at Rutgers. And so you know this time has passed. Thank you for not treating me like an idiot. I also really love how this is probably the first time Misty uses her "I'm not pretty" line with Coach Ben. It worked with him. And then she used it with Stan back in the first episode and it worked with him. Ah, she is so clever. And finally, best line in television that I've heard in a long time. What? There's no book club? All right. Thanks for all you do. Love the podcast.
That's hilarious. Oh, wow. All right. We got another call from Mark Kirkman.
Hi, Penny, Wendy, and Kat. This is Mark. Yeah, I really enjoyed the episode. So strange. We get so many things. A couple of things answered, at least. So we know that the blackmailer is Jeff. I'm glad that we got some sort of resolution to that, but we still don't know who killed Travis. We also get the, I'm assuming, the precursor to what would be the cannibalistic tribe when they're all high on shrooms because of Misty effing Quigley. And the fact that she had her trapper keeper full of different medications, I guess, or herbs that could be used for drugging people. Oh my goodness, the show has gone off the rails like a crazy train, and I'm so into it. And it's so fun to listen to you guys because you break it down and you guys go very deep. Well, no more Adam. I just have a few questions based upon that were not answered within this episode. So what did Misty do after Ben came out to her? And you know, when it comes to the books and articles about the Yellow Jackets, what is known within those books and that article? Could Misty drugging everyone again be what later leads to cannibalism? Is Charlotte ever going to reveal she needs medication? Did Travis use a condom when he had sex with Jackie? Who are the new girls we saw in the episode? Are they more JV players that we haven't seen before and will be introduced to them? I'm thinking got to be season two. And will the next episode have an election results for Thaisa, or will they wait until season two to note if, you know, she won or something? This episode is probably one of my favorites out of it, but my favorite quote is from Jeff going, "There's not even a book club." I look forward to hearing what you have to say, and I'll catch you guys later.
All right. And our last call is from downtown Steve Brown.
Hello, House Podcastica. This is Steve, and this is for Yellow Jackets, Episode 9, Doom Coming. Wow, picking up right where last episode left off.
So he was legitimate? Like, the car crash and everything after that was just... What? Whoa, she stabbed him? And all those flashbacks, that's some stuff we haven't seen yet, right?
Oh, so there are, like, grubworms or whatever they can eat that are under the soil.
Oh, there it is. Doom Coming, she said the title of the episode. Mic drop.
And now the journals are back?
Okay, so Jeff is the blackmailer. I don't know who in the group called it first, but they were right.
That look up from the coach, you can tell he's just praying. Please, please don't let her kill me. Please don't let Misty kill me.
Every time they talk about how long ago, it's weeks ago. How long have they been there? If it was rush week, my head's going to explode.
Uh-oh, Shauna has just told him everything. And he's not having an affair with Bianca.
Wait, so they're going to try to frame one of the other girls for the murder of Adam? What is this Misty hiding in the woods there? Medicinal plants? Mushrooms? Oh, our first look at the masks. Oh, I guess it has been a while because Shauna's starting to get a belly. Oh, there it is. Again, the title of the episode. Mic drop.
Oh no, what kind of mushrooms were those? Well, Jackie poured out the glass mug.
Jackie, that was almost a buzz. Babes. There it is again. Found it under the porch a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago. A few weeks ago. A few weeks ago.
Oh, this is going to be trip. Seeing all of them on shrooms.
Shrooms.
Well, they are definitely devolving with these shrooms.
Ew. Is Lottie wearing the antlers on her head? Oh, I do not think this is going to end well. As comical as this scene is kind of being played with the coach yelling at Misty that he's gay, I don't know how well it's going to turn out for him. So, Shauna just said she met him a few months ago, so a few months have gone by since the car accident.
Whoa. Did Misty just tell this girl everything? And I'm starting to wonder why Misty is all gloved up and always in her coveralls when she's meeting with this girl. Pretty sure she's going to kill her.
Realize what this place is. This is Misty's prepper basement. Oh, that's so mean to end there. One episode left. All right, talk to you later.
That's great.
Wow, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
I think that's very true. That is Misty's prepper basement. And I have a feeling that Jessica's not the first time to spend time in the prepper basement.
Yeah, that's what I thought when he said after he said that. Like,
All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everyone. And I'd just like to say that my week just got really freed up because apparently there's no book club. If you'd like to write in or record a message and send it in, you can email it to talk@podcastica.com.
You can also check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/podcastica.
We're also on Twitter and Instagram at Podcastica.
And please check out the other shows on the podcast network at podcastica.com.
Next for Yellow Jackets is Season 1, Episode 10, the season finale, Sic Transit Gloria Mundi.
I know one of you has already looked that up.
I didn't.
Oh. That's your homework assignment.
All right, I'll do that.
All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
Buzz, 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 buzz.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.